Was that not an incredibly beautiful song or what? Now, that song may have been out for a while, and it's the first time I've ever heard it. That's the first time I've heard that song, and man, that puts it in a nugget. Can you imagine a dream for just a moment? Let God enhance your mind with His vision. Can you imagine each person in the body of Christ being faithful to what God called them to do in one moment? We've had moments like that in history. They call them awakenings. They call them movements. They call them revivals. People get better and people get changed. And so I hope that your desire, the desire of your heart, will be to be what? Faithful unto how God's made you and what God's done in you. But before we get all started, if you just look to the person beside you and say, you know what? I'm glad you're here today. Just go ahead and let them know that. Come on, I'm glad you're here today. And if that, you know, if that's your wife or your kid, that's even better that you'd be glad they were here today. Thank you, man. All right, we're going to take off today. We're in Galatians 6, and the instruction is today. We must plant, we must sow, we must reap, we must harvest, and we must share the good things of the world. Okay, now here's the good news. This place called the church ought to be a place of good news. It ought to be a house of good news. And I'm going to push this a little bit, all right? I'm going to challenge every one of us on something. It is a whole lot easier to be negative. It's a whole lot easier to be negative. It doesn't take anything to be negative. It takes us to be negative. It takes God to see the good things. People are naturally negative. Have you noticed that? Even positive people can be positively negative. How many of y'all noticed that? How many of y'all got one of those friends that's always got a compliment with a barb is what I call it. It's always got that in it, you know. But you know what? God calls us as His people to share the good things we learn with each other. He starts out and He tells us this in Galatians 6, verse 6. Anyone who receives good instruction. I want to thank the teachers in this service as well as the teachers that are teaching right now in this hour. Teaching is important. Well, what do we teach? The good things of God, the ways of God, the power of God, the truth of God. I cannot emphasize enough to you, my family, in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know what He said, it becomes very difficult to do what He's called you to do. You got to know the Bible. Most don't. Most folk don't know the Bible. And that's not enough. Here's the good news. You and I know the author. We know who wrote it. We have His heart, His spirit, His understanding. So we got to know the good instruction. And this is the good instruction in Galatians. There is nothing stronger than Jesus. How many of y'all have gotten that far along? There's nothing stronger than Jesus. The cross and the resurrection is where it happens. I had somebody the other day, they said, well, Pastor Ayers, let me ask you a question. Does every service you do, every teaching you do, always end in the cross and the resurrection? I said, yeah, it does. Every one of them. That's what we're supposed to preach. And he said, well, I don't know if I can stay in this church because I need to go deeper. I said, you don't need to go deeper. I said, you need to get saved. Because here's his delusion. He believes by knowledge you obtain spiritual advancement. This is the problem with the church in America, if I can say so graciously. We have a fat head and a small heart. And I'm not picking on fat-headed people, but we have like a supersized head in the church. I mean, we believe, hey, if I just learn all these Bible verses, then I'm going to... No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying you got to receive good instruction, not just hear the instruction. You got to what? Receive it. Now, you parents know what I'm talking about, don't you? How many of you who have children, sometimes they hear the instructions. Mm-hmm. Now, is it different when they hear the instruction? Here, let's just use a simple one. Your task. Do y'all still have things your children do around the house that you ask them to do? I didn't say that they do. I'm saying, do you just have, you know. You have an expectation that they might do what? That they would go and take out the trash. Used to be one of the household chores that I was assigned to do. You need to take out the trash. I heard that. I knew that. I had knowledge of that. Take out the what? But sometimes when my father would come home, the trash would not be taken out. Why? I heard the instruction, but I didn't receive the instruction. Coach Riley, have you ever had some players that heard the play but didn't receive the play? It's a big difference. It's the difference of that that happens and that that is only heard. Now, we can't just hear God. He tells us that in James. He said, don't just be hearers of the Word of God, but be hearers that do, that become, that activate. You receive it. How many of y'all realize, just as you have received Christ, Lord Jesus, continue to live in Him over there in Colossians. You got to what? Receive it. Jessica, guess what your baptism was? You were illustrating, I have received Jesus. Really, Jesus has received you. He has received you into His kingdom. He has received you into heavenly possibilities. He has made you, check this out, it's going to blow you away. Lamar, you and I, because of Jesus, are heavenly capable. Donnie, what do you think about that? How many of y'all are glad to know you have the capabilities of heaven? Now, this is going to blow you away. Now, but when you receive these good things and God starts moving in you, guess what the Bible tells us to do? Share these with your instructors. You know why we need to talk among ourselves and we need to talk and we need to talk about the good things that God teaches us is so the instructors will know what to teach next. Because we really can't move on until we receive what has been taught. Because God has a holy order. Okay, watch. There's no way that you can understand the Bible until you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because you get the Spirit's got to teach you some things. You got to receive it. Now, here's what I want you to know. God is willing to receive you. This is a Jesus pose. What does He say? Come. He said, well, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. I've done a lot of crazy things. Jesus says, in spite of all of those crazy things, I what? Receive you. So when He receives you, then you receive what He's given you, you begin to grow in your spiritual life. Does that make sense? You got to receive it. How many of y'all receive that God loves you? Come on, talk to me today. This is a talk to me today kind of service. God's in you, receive that. You have been forgiven, receive that. It's been amazing to me as I've watched our world develop. Okay, I hear people talking, and it just tickles me. Oh, gosh, we got a lot of problems. Let me let you in on some good news. We've always had a lot of problems. We act like these are new problems. These are just old problems with new technology. It's the same stuff. It's called sin. But you and I are not supposed to be transmitters of sin. We're supposed to be the message of good news. So, Trish, you a message of good news. What do you think about that, girl? Joseph, you a messenger of what? Good news. You've got a T-shirt that says, Joseph, messenger of good news. But you need to have one in your heart. I'm a messenger of good news. How many of y'all are a messenger of good news? Well, just look at somebody and say, I'm going to tell you some good news. Just tell them that. I'm going to tell you some good news. Now, this is powerful. God really spoke His message into my life because you know what? Before I could preach it, I had to repent. Because sometimes I share the news instead of the news. Little thee instead of big thee. Wait a minute, I've been changed by the good news, but sometimes I just want to share the news. You go, Pastor Steve, don't you understand there's some really crazy things going on? What about that oil spill? Gotta clean it up. That's right. Sure ain't gonna be BP. Those things happen. You know why there's an oil spill? Everybody going, oh, why do these things happen? Humans build oil rigs. How many of y'all have ever been going down the road in your car just mysteriously quit? You know why that happens? Humans build them. How many of y'all have ever put on a pair of britches? Y'all can tell I'm from the South. Britches, pants, up north. You sat down and the seam just blew out the side of them. Now, this usually happens later on in life. Toward the midway of life. And especially happens if you find an old pair of jeans that you used to wear in your 20s and try that one more time in your 40s. But you know why our clothes tear apart? Humans make them. You know sometimes why our marriages and our relationships fly apart? Because humans make, we try to make them. Now here's where it gets good. What if we let God have who we are and design what we relate to? Here's the good news. God will speak good news through us if we'll just let Him speak. We should constantly be people of good news. So Hillview, man, I want to tell you something. I'm excited about this church. I'm always excited about this church. I was up in Ohio, Pastor Jamie's world, Thursday and Friday, Ohio and Michigan. It's interesting when I go up north. People, for the first 25 minutes of me speaking, they just look. You know, and they want to go, who is this guy? You know, Buckeyes. Jamie, as soon as I left, I get a phone call from Jamie, and he said, hey, I just want to tell you. He said, don't be cracking on Ohio State up there. He said, I'm serious. People will hurt you up there if you do it. So I had an interesting conference. I had Ohio State and Michigan. I had churches from Ohio and Michigan all in one conference, and they play a really big football game, University of Michigan against University of Ohio. And so I complimented them first. I shared good names. And I said, you know, you guys play some incredible football when you play each other. And you just really, they didn't catch that. And so I said, y'all play some incredible football. And then I said, you know, I think y'all really do really good playing in the Big Ten, and I want to compliment you for that. But I said, you all have all discovered in the Big Ten, when you come south on Saturdays, we do not have football games. We have religious experiences. Now, see, there's a big difference between a religious experience. That's called the Southeast Conference and college football. For those of you that keep up with sports, you notice Southeast Conference, they ain't wanting to add anybody because they already know nobody else can play with them. You see what I'm saying? I'm just kidding. That was for Jamie. He's away today, so I wanted him to get that on the tape. But you know what I found? God's church is everywhere. How many of y'all found that? It's everywhere. No matter where you go, there's people who believe in, and I want to encourage you today to share good news and then share it with those who instruct you, those who teach you. Let them know. And when you teach, listen to what people are sharing with you and listen to instruction. God always communicates through all things. He said, so share with your instructor. Stay in Jesus always. Now, verse 7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Now, I want to say this because right now in our culture, God's being mocked. God's been mocked before. Dr. Bill Self taught me this a long time ago when I was just a little old young greenhorn preacher, didn't know a thing. I still don't know much, but I knew even less then and thought I knew more. And how many of y'all have ever seen Christians when they receive Christ, man, and they want to defend God? How many of y'all have ever been around somebody that thinks they have to defend God? Well, I want to give you all some great relief. You don't have to do that. He's big enough to defend himself. I want to show you something that's going to blow you away. Find me one place in Scripture where God asks you to defend Him. The reason you can't find that, it's not in there. Because God doesn't ask us to defend Him. He asks us to serve Him. He asks us to share Him. But He doesn't ask us to apologize for who He is, nor defend what He does. God will not be mocked. Bill Maher may look real cool over there on his HBO TV show right now when he hauls off on Christians and he messes with them. And Oprah may seem like a darling of wisdom as she brings in all of her gurus and cooks her super religious soup. But there will be a day, there will be a day when the eastern sky splits and Jesus comes in all of His glory. There'll be that day. Now, if you're nervous about that day, I have good news. The reason those who say they believe are nervous about the end day is they need to question what they believe. For those of you that are in, you're in and cannot be removed. You and I should not worry about last days because last days never happen to us. Last days are for those who will die. When you received Christ as your Lord, your Savior, and your forever, you have no last days. Now, you and I will have a last day on earth. but we go on. Anybody excited about that? You know, I don't know about you, but I'm excited about sheriff. Now, you won't always be a sheriff. You okay with that? You've been a good sheriff here in Bowling Green, but we won't need any sheriffs in heaven. Isn't that cool? Now, this might be good for you, Peanuts. You never have to go through another election again for all eternity after you get to heaven. If you're cooking barbecue up there, it's just because we want to eat. Amen? We won't need any sheriffs up there. Watch this. And sheriff, don't panic. Guess what? Guess who else won't be in heaven? No, there'll be a lot of criminals in heaven, just pardoned ones. Oh, yeah, hold on. That was good, though, right? That's of God right there. How many of y'all think there'll be some criminals in heaven? Watch this. Heaven will be filled with criminals that have been pardoned. That's you and I. Because we've all sinned, guilty, fallen short of the glory of God. Somebody had to get us into heaven. His name is Jesus. Yeah, heaven is filled with outlaws who have been pardoned by God. What do some of you real holy people think about that?
Now, Pastor Dan, you might have been an outlaw, but I've always loved him.
Yeah, you're not arrogant or self-deceived at all, are you?
No, man, it's not about our righteousness. It's about God's righteousness in us. That makes sense?
What do you think about that, Ross? Heaven's filled with criminals that have been pardoned. Who, because of God's pardon, will never be criminals again. See how it works? So therefore, understand this. Do not be deceived. Oh, my friends, do not be what? We're in an age of deception. We've been there, for 70 or 80 years. Watch this. I want to give you some things that are deception. Now, some of y'all aren't going to like me when I tell you this. It's not red, white, and blue, and apple pie. The American dream is an outright deception. Because here's what people believe. They believe if they don't have the right kind of house and don't have the right kind of car, don't wear the right kind of animals on their shirt, they're not living a full and abundant life. Well, it's not true. I mean, here's basically the American dream. You know, you get a good job, you make a little money, you live in a nice neighborhood, you work out whatever you enjoy doing, you finish working that, you know, you get your kids to college, you buy you an RV, you get you a vest, put a bunch of stickers of all the places you've been and die. And then some hippie buys your RV and smokes dope in it the rest of their life. This is not the dream. The dream that God has for you is this. Is that you would come to Christ and He would begin to show you your full and abundant life while you're here on earth. So really, this breaks down the wonderful nature of God. It's not what you have that counts. What do you think about that, Jerry? Not that you're old, but you are seasoned. Would you give me that much? All right? And seasoning's a good thing because the Bible says you've been seasoned with salt. You've lived out the ways of wisdom of God. Haven't you found it's not what you have in life that counts? It's who has you. Or what has you. If the grace of God has you, then you got to share the good news. When the grace of God, what? Has you. Then the Spirit will move through you and begin to change parts of the world. God will not be mocked. There is a day of consequence. Now, I asked the 8 o'clock crowd this, and I want to ask you all this. Do you feel like in today's times, we try to relinquish ourselves from consequences? What do y'all think? Here, talk to me a minute. What do y'all think? We got this strong section here says, oh, yeah. What about middle section? Y'all, huh?
Absolutely.
Hey, have you all been making these observations? Everything that happens is nobody's fault. Have you all find this strange? This is one of the mysteries I've found throughout ministry for the past how many of 20-something years I've been in it. I go to church conferences, and I talk to pastors. And everybody has a great church. But your church is like, man, it's awesome, it's fabulous.
If everybody has such a great church, then why are we living in such a lousy culture? Because I think a lot of times we just say words that don't have meaning. Now, sometimes when I'm in an irritable kind of mood for people, I'll go, well, tell me what makes your church great.
Wow. Blah, 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 blah. Here's what a great church does. It gives life to people that don't have it. It's that simple. And I thank you all for being a church that's willing to surrender to Jesus because people come to life here. I want to tell you something that happened that was amazing yesterday. Yesterday we had this yard sale auction here. That wasn't amazing. This blew me away. We had a fellow human being who lives here in Warren County who came to a yard sale and got saved. Crazy, Rod! Crazy! Yeah. I had this lady coming up to me. She'd come from it up here and she said, Pastor Steve. And I thought she'd got excited because she'd found her a Barbie doll, you know, or something like that. And, you know, we just had a lot of stuff in here. And she goes, she had one of them white cards with her. She said, this lady in the back, she's been wanting to come to this church for a long time. She said she figured she could get in on the yard sale. She came in. She said, I shared Jesus with her. She received Jesus in the back. Guess what? She got a whole lot more than some stuff.
Amen.
She got a life. And then you know what's cool? I just want you to know, people want to be invited to church. People want to be invited to church. God will not be mocked. Luckily, we have people here who speak Spanish, and we have some beautiful Hispanic people, and they showed up here, and we got some here today, and I'm so thankful for that. But this beautiful Hispanic mother, grandmother, looked at me, and she goes, are Hispanics welcome here? And she said it in Spanish, and the interpreter gave me the English version. I told her, everybody's welcome. Hispanic, Hispanic Asian. We even do combinations here at Hillview. We don't care where you come from. We really don't. Y'all hear that? This is the good news. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what color you painted. I don't care if you're male or female. You know, we went over it in Galatians, remember? The Bible says neither male nor female, neither slave nor free, but all are one in who? Christ Jesus. That's what I love about our church, man. And I hope our church becomes more colorful every Sunday. I hope we get purple people eventually. Wouldn't it be cool to worship with purple people? When I was a child, they always said there was purple people. I thought, man, I want to meet some of these purple people. I know you Bowling Green High people are going, well, there are purple people. Yeah. Yeah, I know. But I want to get back to this consequence thing. You know what I'm talking about? Welcome people. There's a consequence for being welcoming. People will go somewhere. There's a consequence for sharing good news. And it's not that you will feel better. It's the world will become better. We ought to be people of good news. Tim, Bowling Green Christian Academy, guess what that needs to be? Good News Education Center. Those parents ought to be, man, I got some good news, man. My kids are soaring. Every school ought to be a good news center because there's good news people that are a part of those schools. Hey, are y'all beginning to see this vision? Look at me. Give me a nod or a twist or something. I'm getting this. That God will do immeasurably more with your life than you think He will. If you'll just do what? Let Him go. Here's the scariest thing you can ever say to God. Have your will. God, have your will with my life. Because God will go, okay, we're going over here. I said, no, I don't mean that, God. How many of y'all are like that? Susan said, man, I want to surrender to God. And God says, I want you to go talk so-and-so over there. Well, I didn't mean that, God. I meant your will. Well, I want you to talk to so-and-so. God, you know I don't like them. And He says, well, I don't like you either, but I saved you. Go share the good news. How many of y'all realize we need to share the good news with even people we disagree with? It's not about agreeing. It's about what? Sharing good news. Y'all see how this could get crazy? And he goes on and he tells us, God will not be mocked. I want you to know, please listen. Is everybody listening right now? Everybody got their listener on? I mean, it's real, okay? You will reap a consequence. You will reap a consequence. Young people, especially you children, you will reap a consequence. Even if you believe in Jesus Christ and you sow into the sinful nature, you will reap a consequence. I want you to know something. Sin kills. Period. You got it? And God doesn't want you to die. He wants you to live. He tells us, he gives us, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man sows what he reaps what he sows. I'm running a survey today. Have you noticed how parents always interfere with their children? These are true stories. I'm going to give you two true stories. Anybody here a teacher? Public education system? Great. Teacher. I'm going to get this teacher over here. Where's teacher? Give me teacher. Teach. Have you had any parents come and try to justify the failure of their children? Really? In this day and age? Anybody coach sports in here? Pee Wee Little League? Any league? All right. Coach. Coach Dan. Coach Dan, you kind of just entered into this coaching thing with your children, haven't you? Welcome to Little League. It's much easier to run the White House than to coach Little League, okay? Because let me tell you what. Military operations, those are easy compared to mothers of Little League players. This is the most dangerous species on the face of the earth. Have you ever heard this, Coach? I want to know why my boy's not playing.
Yesterday.
You heard it yesterday. So this is fresh. It's fresh. Did you go, Reason not playing because they're no good?
No.
Good. That's smart, all right? True, but not smart. Because we want somebody to justify our inadequacies. I got a college professor in here. We had a couple of college professors. We got any college professors in this service? They're usually 8 and 11. Where? Yep. College professor, sir. Have you had parents call at the college level? This fries my mind. I cannot imagine my father calling the college professors. Because it would have been a long list. Where I had a low mark in the class. I've had a low mark before in the class. I just want to go ahead and confess that. In fact, I have had a flag in a college class before. Spanish. So guess what God does? Takes my life and opens up a church in Costa Rica. And then says, hey, you should have listened in the Spanish class, big boy. I sit there. I want to talk to those Costa Rican people so bad. I mean, they're so beautiful. And I felt the Holy Spirit said, yeah. Remember when you were sitting back at Georgetown College being cool? And you even looked up to me and said, God, when will I ever speak Spanish? So God looked at me and said, never now. God will not be mocked. What you sow into is what you will reap. There will be a consequence. Now, here's what I want you to know. Is everybody listening to me? The consequence will happen no matter who tries to delay it. I want to give you adolescents three things I tell all adolescents. That's teenagers and young adults. Three things. If you'll only do these three things, you'll set yourself up for a real good adult life. Number one, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, and make decent grades. Let me interpret that for you. B's. Now, if you're an A person, be an A person. But you got to have enough grades to go on. Technical school, university, whatever. Grades. That means this. Don't be whining later on in life at everybody that sowed when they were in high school while you were playing around. Dale, this is why I support public education. You know what I call it? Public opportunity. See, I don't understand this. The same people that chose to do nothing in their high school were the same people sitting beside me listening to the same teacher. So I have a hard time buying these new American violin sad sorrow songs that say I didn't have opportunity. I say baloney. You had opportunity and refused it. Don't give me this one. Well, I came from a bad environment. You know how many successful CEOs I know that came from a bad environment? Don't give me this. I came out of an alcoholic household. Because guess what? The other 50% of the people that grew up in an alcoholic household become very successful, driven, successfully contributing people. It's just nobody talks about them. And you say, well, wait a minute, I don't like that. You got to decide if you want to be a victim or a follower. And let me tell you what. Here's the good news. I got good news. If you've got victimitis mentality, all right? If somebody's always making life miserable for you, I'll agree with you. You're sitting with them. And you're not just sitting with them. You're sitting on them. And you're choosing to not sow in the Spirit. Don't blame others for your mistakes. Ask Jesus to forgive you of your mistakes and do what? Go on. So young people, make decent grades. Amen. Number two, drugs and alcohol cause you to be stupid. How many of y'all have come to that conclusion? I know I'm being a little harsh here. Law enforcement people, if we could just cut down the drugs in this city, if there were no drugs, how many hours would that take off y'all's day? Sheriff, if I had a magic wand and just said, boom, no more drugs in Warren County, you'd have to figure out what to do some parts of the week, wouldn't you? You'd be back to the old-time sheriff. Hey, how y'all doing? Bobby, everything doing good today? Good. Praise God. Barney's right behind me. Okay, right? See what I'm saying? Young people, hear me, listen. Alcohol and drugs, keep them out of your adolescence. And don't put them in your adult life. It's that simple. And you go, well, man, them people are so cool. They are not. How many of y'all have seen 50-year-old dope smokers? Now, Wayne, how many times you hear this one?
Wayne, man, I don't understand, man. You're just bigoted, man. It ain't like I'm doing cocaine, man. I'm just smoking marijuana. It ain't no big deal. There's no difference between marijuana and a beer. Yes, there is.
If I drank a beer and you smoked a joint, there is a noticeable difference. Now, if I drink 12 beers and you smoke a joint, there ain't a lot of difference.
24/7, by the way.
Yeah. Watch. I got these guys, they try to tell me all the time, I ain't no different. I go, well, let me ask you a question. You 56, and you got a part-time job at the movie theater. Now, hold on. I ain't got no problem with a part-time job at the movie theater when you're 16. But you know why you got that part-time job at the movie theater? Because here's the effect of marijuana. It stuns your development at what age you started.
Amen. Absolutely.
What's this? Most 50-year-olds don't talk like this. Dude. It's not good on a job interview. So what kind of skills you got? Dude, I can write. Never. It's not good. It has an effect. Now watch. Here's what we try to do. We try to say sin doesn't have an effect. It has an effect. God will not be what? Mocked. What you sow into, you will reap. There's a consequence. And even if mommy goes like this, you're so special, you're still going to reap the consequence. How many of y'all found this one? You go spend a lot of money on your credit cards, they will request payments. But while you're spending them, what does it feel? It feels what? So good. We just flip that old plastic. We think we got money. We got no money. Apparently the bank didn't have any money either. But we think if I buy it, I'll be better. And then we forget about the consequence. Here's the third thing in adolescence. Don't have sex till you get married.
Oh, Pastor Steve, you're so out of the groove. You're just out of the groove. I mean, don't you know, we live in this open world now. We've advanced. Really? Well, running around having sex with everything sounds pretty primitive to me. It doesn't sound very advanced. This sounds advanced. I'm going to keep myself and I'm going to love the one I love for a lifetime. Now watch. Girls. Let me tell you how you do that. When they ask, no! That's holy, spiritually accepted. You are sowing in the spirit in a particular location that will cause immediate consequence. Oh! Yeah. Guys, be a real man. Don't ask till you're a big enough boy to put a ring on that finger. And don't put no bubblegum machine ring on there either. Don't ask. Do you love that woman enough that you're going to give her a nice house? See, Barry, you did all these things. You got a nice yard for your wife. I mean, remember when you still remember when you and Tanya got married, don't you? Still happening. Remember you cried at your vows and got every male in the church in trouble. My wife for 3 weeks. Barry Lindsay is the sweetest man I've ever seen, the way he looked at Tanya. I said, Lord have mercy, honey. They were getting married. Everybody looks like that when you get married. It's a few years after you reap the consequences. Y'all remember those days, don't you? God will not be mocked. Now, don't sow in the sinful nature. Where are we supposed to sow? In the spiritual what? Nature. Now watch this. From that nature, we receive and we release. Look what it says here. From that nature, we will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap what? Eternal life. I want to thank you all for one big thing. Thanks for building the children's building. And we're going to get it all paid off together. Some of you in here in leadership, Dale, some of you others remember this. We were fixing to build a worship center, remember? And guess what? Excuse my English, English teachers. Fixing. It's a Kentucky word. Now I'm going to even spice it up. We were fixing to mess up real bad. Real bad. Like, bad. We didn't need a worship center. We got a worship center. We still got a few seats. You take care of these, fill up this place. Don't ever worry about filling up this place. You know why? God has provided a hallway full of young preachers. They look like thoroughbreds. They want to get in that gate like them big old horses do on a Kentucky Derby. And you know what? I figured it out. We can do 14 services for one Sunday. Now, I'm not doing them all. But we can do it. We didn't need a worship center. That would have been investing in our moment. We would have missed the Scripture. So God led us, and we listened. Thank God we listened. Thank you for listening to God. And God put up a facility that will have eternal impact. And so I appreciate a lot of you in this room investing in eternity. Isn't it cool? Harvey, guess what? You and I will never see all God's going to do out of that building. And that's okay. Amen? That's okay, man. I'm going to plant seed. I'm going to plant money. I'm going to plant time. I'm going to plant energy. Because guess what? I mean, I don't want this to happen in the next decade, but sooner than I think, Earl, I will have grandchildren. And I'm going to look at my wife and say, I'm married to a grandma. That'll happen sooner than I think, won't it, Earl? I mean, even though you've lived 300 years, it's been pretty fast, hasn't it? Huh? Sipping by. Well, I love Earl and Cindy. You know what I mean? Earl actually flew planes in World War II. Did y'all realize that?
Amen.
Thank you for doing that, by the way. See, listen, I'm going to get some of you mad. I'm going to get some of you mad right now. I know some of you, you know, love and peace and no problem. If Earl hadn't flown those planes, I wouldn't be preaching to you today. Well, I would be preaching, but we wouldn't be in this location. Now, a whole lot of Christians in Germany, you know what they did? They went and hid in the basement. And the more they hid, the more destruction came. I wonder what the Christians, those of us who receive Christ and sow in the Spirit, are going to do in America as things start crumbling.
You reckon we're going to stand? Are we going to say, wait a minute, God wants us to live? We're not going to be arrogant and obnoxious, but we're going to be loving and kind, and we're going to share good news in the hope of life? Or are we just going to stand by and let it go down? What do you think? There's got to be one place that's together, and guess who it is? The church. I want to share this with you. We got to get together, and we don't have a lot of time to do it. As I said, I was in a conference this week. I got to eat lunch with this really cool pastor from Ann Arbor, Michigan, and he was talking about, he said, you know, Pastor Ayers, I just live for the body of Christ to be unified one day. And I said, me and you, brother, my whole ministry, I've wanted to see the body of Christ be together. I personally think all these denominations are the personality disorder in the body of Christ. I think they have literally fragmented. Well, Kurt, and I give credit to Kurt. This is the word of God through a guy, Pastor Kurt, okay? And Pastor Kurt said, you know, he said, do you remember the day you got married? And I flashed back. And Kelly, you'll remember that Tuesday morning. And, man, I'm standing right here. You guys that are married, you remember me standing right here? Man, I remember Elizabeth, man. She's drop-dead gorgeous. Not that she's changed any, but that particular moment is a little extra. She had that bride, you know, had that veil on, had blonde hair, had them big old eyes, and they looked at me like I was really... They don't look at me like that anymore. They don't look like that anymore. But y'all men remember when you know, your lady used to give you the look like, you are the man. And after 5 years of marriage, they look like, I made a commitment and I will finish. You know? She's standing in the back and she came down in all of her radiant beauty, and I'm just sitting there. I mean, I'm so excited. I mean, I'm just going crazy and like, oh. Now, Kurt said, you remember that moment? I said, I remember that moment. He said, let me ask you a question. He said, this is going to be a little... He said, everything about her was beautiful. You would agree with me. I said, everything. He goes, okay, but what if this had happened? An eyeball came down. An ear came down. A foot came down. An elbow came down. He said, you got my point? I said, I got your point. This is the bride that the world sees. She's a beautiful bride. She's a radiant bride. She's impassioned with the power of the Spirit. But our problem is, we got her all in parts. And we're not showing the world the bride that is together. So I want to encourage you as we wrap this message up, love everybody that's a follower of Jesus in this city. Guys, I'm just going to be very, very pointed here. One of the problems we got in the church world in Warren County is we like to compete with each other among churches. And here's what that's doing. That's why there's 85,000 who are disconnected from the church. It's not about where you attend church. It's about who you follow in church. Are you a follower of Jesus? Now, what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to take the opportunities. That means today. That means tomorrow. That means life. Here's what Paul said to this church in Galatians. Use your life with wisdom. Take every opportunity. Look what he says. Every opportunity. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. If we do not, what? Give up. Don't give up. That's all I'm saying about that. Don't what? Don't give up. Don't give up. Let's finish up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Okay, first of all, how are we supposed to treat people? Come on, talk to me. We're wrapping up. How are we supposed to treat people as believers, followers? Good. Hello, how you doing? Listen, people are tired of hearing negative Christians. I'm going to preach here. They're tired of hearing our protest signs and our whining. Because to tell you the truth, this is the way we sound. Y'all like that? How many of y'all like somebody whines all the time? I mean, I can't stand it. My daughter, if I hear her start to whine, I'll jump all over her. You know why? Why do you think I do that? No. Because I know there's some man out there that doesn't want to live with that the rest of his life. I'm a man. You women need to understand, we do not like that. And sometimes you can take a check. If we're not home, see where you're sowing. If I'm going to come home in here, I bet I can find a couple extra holes of golf to play. Or another project to get into. If we come home to gracious good news, you'll want to what? Come home. Men, the same thing. Wait, I got to preach to men now. Men are a bunch of whiners. I hear this from men.
I don't know what to do. She just doesn't make me happy.
Oh, would you grow up? Good gosh, no wonder your wife is whining. She married her girlfriend. Be a man. Love her with the power and the grace of God. Love your children with God's passion. Therefore, do good, not evil, to all people. But hold on. Especially to those who belong to the family of believers. It's different. You know why? Jerry, you're not my friend. You're my brother. Mr. White, we're not friends. We're brothers. We're in the family of God. Suzanne, we're not friends. We're brother and sister in the Lord. Especially to those in the community of faith. That's why some people get upset with Hillview Heights Church. I'm going to tell you how we're going to be, and it's not negotiable. So you decide if you're going to like it or not. This body of Christ will be taken care of first. Because that's what we're supposed to do. And then, with the crumbs, we'll bless the rest of the folks. But the body gets taken care of first. Boy, I get people get mad. They come and say, well, you're not a Christian because I won't pay, you won't pay my rent. And I said, well, you go read the Bible and come back and we'll have discussion on that. Nowhere in the Bible did it say paying rent would save somebody. Well, it'd save you for 30 days, but that's about it. But it won't save your soul. We're a church. It's about going to heaven. You invest well in Christ, you'll be changed forever. Did y'all get this today? Everybody get this today? Kids, did y'all get this today? Good grades? Good boyfriends? Only boyfriends your father approves of. Make sure he's a man of grace, or I'd have never got married. Oh, look here. Stay pointed in Christ. Every opportunity. Well, let's stand up. You got opportunity right now. Invitation today. We've already had people get saved today. You ready? Invitation today. Please, I want everybody to listen. 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 Don't get restless. Don't ready to get out of here. This is the invitation time. Your minds ought to be focused on Jesus Christ and He alone. Opportunity of good news today. Today, if you've never asked Christ in your life, right now is your moment. You ready? Just ask Him, Lord Jesus, I know I've sinned. And I know I'm a sinner. Tell Him. And I'm sorry. Lord, I repent. I'm very, very sorry for these sins. Tell Him. Lying, cheating, stealing, lusting, immorality, addictions, all sin. The list is long. But receive the grace. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me. Guess what He'll say? Forgiven. Tell Him you know He died and He lives. Now receive Him in you and live. If you just ask Christ to come into your life or you want to talk about that, you come forward here in just a moment. If you've never been baptized, it's time to get baptized. Receive Him in that moment. Let Jesus have His way in you. Okay? praying right now for all of you that need to receive Christ. All of you that need to be baptized. Let's not put it out. Let's not put it off any longer, my friends. Because there's going to be a day. Sean Pugh, my brother, there's going to be a day. Sheriff, there's going to be a day I'll never preach another word. Because the sheep and the goats will be separate. You say a loving God would never do that. Oh, yeah, He would. Especially a God who said, whosoever will receive me will live. And who refuses me will never live. When He's that clear, So let's just come right now. Come and pray. Come and thank God for each other. Come and ask God to make the body of Christ in Warren County, Kentucky, around these surrounding counties, so unified that people will wonder what Jesus is doing now. This altar is open. There's an invitation to go to heaven from here. An invitation for baptism, for prayer, for healing. So you can stand and step away, or you can take a step forward and live forever in Christ. Come, the altar's open. Come on, my friends, my people, thank you. Come on, let God have His way today. Come on, people are coming. God wants you to come today. Now, rarely do I say that, but God wants you to come today. You know He does. I don't care what time it is. It's time to be saved. It's time to be healed. It's time to be touched by God. Let Him have His way in you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, there's some others that need to just give it up for Jesus today. Come on.